Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
I'm Adam Blattenberg from Diesel World.
Hi, this is Dan, owner of Dan's Diesel Performance.
I'm Christian Roth of BD Diesel.
I'm Braden Fleece, and you're listening to the Diesel Podcast.
What is going on, Diesel Nation? We're excited to have you guys with us today on the Diesel Podcast. Today, we got a really cool episode. I'm going to be chatting with Dustin from Industrial Injection. He manages their engine shop, and we're going to be talking about Cummins engines. So 5.9s, 6.7s, 12 valves, basically everything to do with Cummins is what's going to be on this episode. So it's going to be really cool to be able to ask him some questions that you guys gave us. Discord, we're going to have a Discord link below. If you're not on there, definitely get on there. But a lot of questions came from there. Also, just emails that we get and comments on YouTube. So I'm going to ask him those, and he's going to give us a rundown of the lineup they have, whether you have a stock truck or you're building something for 3,000 horsepower and everything in between. So it's going to be a great conversation. Before we get to it, though, I want to give a shout out to one of our sponsors, which is Worley Custom Fabrication. They have so many cool products, so many things that solve an issue. They look fantastic. They're designed in the United States, built in the United States, and they're on the cutting edge of pushing diesel performance, you know, further ahead. I just saw the other day they released a billet intake manifold for 5.9 and 6.7 Cummins, and it's something you definitely have to see. It's a work of art. So if you're not following them on Instagram, Facebook, definitely do that. But jump on to WCFab.com. You can check out what they have for your truck, and there's so many products. I couldn't even rattle them all off, you know, right now, but you can search by, you know, what truck you have. If you have any questions, they're more than happy to chat with you and make sure you get the product you need. If there's any custom options you want, they have that as well with different colors and just tons of different things. So definitely make sure that you check them out. And as I mentioned before, you're going to see a link below for Discord. If you're not on there, it's a really fun place. There's a lot of really cool diesel fans that we're able to chat with. It's basically one place where you can chat with other people who listen to the podcast. There's enthusiasts, you know, that like to race. There's people who tow a lot, Cummins, Duramax, Powerstroke. We put a lot of time into being able to have different sections for you guys. So if you just want to focus in on Cummins stuff or Duramax or Powerstroke, or want to chat about the podcast, want to chat with me, some of our vendors, it's a really cool place. We want to thank you guys for helping us get over 200 people on there. It's really fun. It's something I'm on all the time, nights, weekends. It's really cool to see what you guys are building, and you give me a lot of great ideas for episodes. All right, let's get to today's podcast with Dustin and chatting about Cummins engines. Dustin, welcome to the Diesel Podcast. I've been looking forward to doing this one with you for quite a while, and I'm glad our schedule's lined up where we can chat about really what's at the heart of the Diesel Podcast, which is diesel engines, and specifically Cummins engines, which the audience knows that's my favorite engine. So it's going to be a really cool podcast, and I'm glad to be able to chat with you today.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a good time, and hopefully I can answer some questions for you guys. And we're kind of shut down today doing a little house cleaning. I got a few guys out during the hunt and stuff. So this is a great time to kind of get involved in this with you and show you around the shop and answer some questions today.
Oh yeah. And I got some questions for you. I got some of our Discord members, some on Instagram, YouTube. So I've got those lined up for you, but I wanted to start at the beginning and have you tell us a bit about yourself and what you do at Industrial Injection.
Well, I've been with the company for 20 years this year. This October will be about 20 years. I started at the bottom, you know, helping Brady. Brady hired me, which is Shane and Brett and Cody's dad, hired me to kind of go behind Cody and learn the fuel injection department. And, you know, I started sweeping floors, and I just went from one level to another. I started building 7.3 injectors. And from there, we developed into an engine program and wanted to kind of get into that part of it. So I was running the engine program here, I guess it'd be about 12, 13 years ago, and decided, hey, I needed more help than just me, selling an engine, putting it together and shipping it out. So Sean Baca was actually one of my first hires to come in. He actually came in for me to build him an engine. And I said, hey, why don't you just come to work here and we'll build it. And so the first engine he built was actually his, and it was a big 12 valve P pump build. And we actually sold it to a customer. So he didn't end up actually even getting that engine. But So I've been doing that for, like I said, 12, 13 years here, from aside from building pumps and injectors and doing a little bit of the drive-in service stuff. And then about 4 years ago, our machinist, Randy Farmer, that has been doing our machine work, he's about 2.5 hours south of our main shop. He decided to sell his company to us. And I mean, he'd been solely working for us for about 10 years. He hadn't been doing any other customers or anything. We ran all of his parts through us. We took that over and they chose me to come down here. Well, I was his direct link and just was fitting for me to come down here and run our engine department, which is where I'm at here today.
It's a really interesting story you have. And I, there's a lot of questions I get all the time from people who are interested in diesel. Like, it's their hobby. They're really passionate about it. And they think, right, I wonder if I could work in this industry. I wonder if I could do it. So before you started at Industrial Injection, were you really into diesel trucks and were really passionate about it? Or how did it start?
Yeah. So my dad was one of the very first employees at Industrial Injection. So I was a close family friend with these guys my whole life. I worked in an auto body shop, a local auto body shop down kind of by us. And I did auto body, but I also was more passionate as a mechanic and working on the trucks and stuff. And so I was doing that, and an opportunity arose for me to get involved at Industrial Injection. And I built some gas engines, some big block Ford stuff. And I had an old Ford truck with the big blower on it. I took to car shows. So I've been doing that since I was young. And my first truck was a 97 Ford Power Stroke OBS, and had some big injectors in it. And it was like the days of the 94, 95 Cummins and stuff. And, you know, my dad had a turned up truck, and every time we'd go on a family outing, even Brady, the owner of Industrial, we'd go on a family outing, boating, fishing, camping, whatever. It was always a race who had the more powerful truck, you know. And this was back when there were 350, 400 horse, or maybe 500 horse turned up, you know.
Yeah.
And we just, you couldn't not be want to, you know, take it to the next level and do more with it.
That's how I got hooked too, is it was just something that I'd read, you know, Diesel World or Diesel Power Magazine or the old TDR, you know, or I'd get on forums, right, and stuff. Yep, and yep. I didn't even have a diesel, but I thought, man, this is really cool. And yeah, there's all these things I can do for it. And then it just grows. And I know there's a lot of our listeners have that same kind of passion. So I definitely wanted to, you know, ask you how it all started. But
the TDR brings back a lot of memories. They used to have their big get together down in Pahrump, Nevada.
Yeah.
And I remember going down, we'd do a dyno competition, and Clint Cannon from ATS, and we'd bring Brett Williams. He had a 04 Dodge. And I want to say, like, it was an incredible feat to see 750, 800 horsepower out of one. And
yeah,
it was a fun time doing that dyno competition in Vegas, and then going on and just doing some fun stuff with those guys. It was a good time.
It's amazing how much the power levels have grown. Like, you know, you'd mentioned Sean and you know, UCC trips and competitions you guys have been in and pushing that envelope. And I wanted to ask you about specifically the Cummins engines that you guys build, because we know about the huge horsepower. We see it at UCC and different places. But what kind of lineup do you guys have for, you know, somebody that's got a 5.9 or 6.7? You know, I'm sure there's guys who have stock trucks, or they might have you know, a tune on it or something like that.
So we like I said, we have a complete lineup, and probably our biggest seller would be our stock plus. It's like an HP reman type thing. It's got our coated pistons that we do in-house, ARP bolts throughout, a firing head gasket. We do some stuff with the cylinder head as far as our seats and the angles on that, change the valves up. And then we also drill and tap all the freeze plugs in the head so that you don't have those coming out. And that's probably one of our biggest ones, but we have our all the way down from our bone stock replacement all the way up to like what you see, it's in Sean's truck and stuff like that. But the street performance and the stock plus, that's probably our biggest seller. We push three or four of those out of our shop every week.
Is it pretty even between, say, like 5.9 common rails and 6.7s and maybe even some
trucks? And that's the crazy thing this year, especially we'll go in batches, you know, like nobody, we won't sell a 6.7 for 3 or 4 weeks. And then it'll be just all 5.9s. And then like Sean was just down here and picked up 7.67 long blocks from me that we just finished up this week. He just picked those up to take up there, and it's all nothing but 6.7s. So, you know, if we looked at the end of the year, I would say it's probably 50-50 on that.
Yeah, it's been really cool to see the 6.7s. That was my first diesel truck, and it was early on. You know, there was a lot of parts commonality with the 5.9, but like things that you guys do, like on the fuel side, on the air side, there's been so much growth on the 6.7s themselves. And that was one of the questions that we had, is somebody said, you know, for high horsepower build, in your opinion, would you go with a 5.9 or would you go with a 6.7 to build something for, you know, a lot of power?
So prime example, my most favorite build, I'm building one for Tyler Kipp right now. I'm building one for a couple other customers, but I love the 6.7 bottom end platform. We do so many 5.9s that I usually will take a 5.9 core in and I'll build somebody a 6.7 because I got a lot of 6.7 cores here. I'll take a 6.7 core, build the whole bottom end, run a 5.9 head on it or whatever. And still, like, for anybody building a high performance 5.9 truck, you know, or a third gen truck, I'll do a 6.7 bottom end for sure. Unless they don't want it that way, you know, but you know, something that's 1,000 to 1,500 horsepower, we'll do a 6.7 short block, performance short block. And then one of our street heads is still running the factory plenum.
What would be the benefit to running that 6.7 short block for that kind of power level?
What's super nice is a lot of people are bringing in single turbos right now. Like everybody, you know, compounds are great and they're, you know, there's no ifs, ands, or buts that they're the way to go for a big towing setup. That's a 600-800 horse. But a lot of these guys like running these bigger, larger single turbos, and the tuning's getting better. The turbos, being able to run the turbos a lot better. And sorry, I had a call coming in, but we're getting able to spool the turbos up one. And what's really nice about that 6.7 platform is it does spool those bigger chargers, those big single chargers, a lot faster. So, and then there's no replacement for displacement, right? Like everybody, like the bigger bore is, it's always bigger bet is better.
Now with the, when you guys are speccing out an engine, how much difference, or with tolerances, this was another question we got, was, you know, say you're doing a stock rebuild versus like, you know, something in the 1,000 to 1,500. And I guess we could even go to like, you know, some of the engines that Sean runs, is what is the difference in tolerances between them for various power levels?
That's a great question. There is definitely a huge difference, and it's taken us a lot of years to make sure that wrist pin clearance to your bore clearance on your cylinder to your piston to cylinder wall clearance, your, even the clearance that's in your main caps, you know, when we hone them or bore them out, your press fit, like totally different from a stock build all the way up to Sean's. You know, we actually add a lot of clearance. I don't want to tell you exactly what kind of clearance we're running, but there is a huge difference between a stock engine and what we do in our big race setups, you know. And one of the things I can tell you about is we do some stuff with our wrist pin bushings that I don't think very many people are doing, where we're kind of simulating the first initial fire up before we even machine the wrist pin bushing, so that we get the right clearance when that fires up and runs and makes that big power for the first time and doesn't clearance itself. It's already got the clearance in it, if that makes sense. We do a lot of machine work that simulates that initial clearance, making the clearance.
A question I just thought of is, I had a friend once that he was doing a Fummins and he bought this 12 valve, you know, crate or core engine. And the guy said, oh, it runs just fine. And, you know, I remember watching him, like, he wanted to go through it and he's putting it together. And I remember the kind of the fear he had the first time he went to crank it to start it, like, what's going to happen? Yeah. With as many engines as you guys build, what goes into not just the quality, but just the processes that you guys have when you're, you know, going to ship an engine across the country to, you know, the East Coast or West Coast? What goes into that, so you know, and the customer knows, the shop knows, this thing's just going to fire right up once we get it in and get all the fluids in?
So one nice thing about it is where we do all the machine work in-house. Like when we build, you've heard of our builder boxes where we spec everything out, you know, and as long as Sean puts it together, where, you know, I do all the machine work and I classify everything, he puts it together. But one nice little thing we do is sim testing. And I don't know if you're familiar with that.
I'm not.
The only other aftermarket like engine builders that I know that does sim testing is GM Performance, like Crate engines. Like if you order a Crate engine from GM Performance, a Gas World, it'll be sim tested. But we have a simulator that we basically build the short block. And then Sean puts it on that and it simulates oil pressure. We can make sure it's not leaking, doing all that stuff. It cranks over, at a certain RPM and basically we can double check that there's not any oil getting past the rings and stuff like that. You know, it's making the proper oil pressure and all that. And then he buttons it up and ships it across the country.
That's really cool because I know that there can be a lot of, you know, engines are expensive and especially depending what kind, what kind that you're getting. Yeah. It's just like, you know, a lot of truck owners are just like, they want that reassurance. So something like that is really cool. I think I've actually seen some videos on the industrial injection Instagram with that.
Yeah,
that's really cool.
Sean likes to post a lot of that stuff too. I don't get to see, I just get to see the holes getting bored out and some of the machines doing their work. I don't get to see the final product. So I really like seeing his paint jobs and, you know, bolting them all together and all that stuff. So it's pretty cool.
There was another question I just thought of that somebody asked us. So it's pertaining to camshafts and he had asked something like, are the 03 to 04 camshafts different than the 04.5 to 07, or is it the same from the 03 to, you know, early 07 5.9s?
So there is a different casting number between 03 and 07. But the actual number for the lift and everything comes in exactly the same. You will find some big differences in the 6.7s, but when you get to the valve, we're talking a few thousandths difference in lift, you know, to where it doesn't really, when we're talking stock to stock, it doesn't really matter. But there's an ending number in all the camshafts made by Cummins, and that's the one we go off as far as like when we regrind them and make them our stage 1, 2, 3, and the stuff from there, or if we're going to go to a build one, which profile we start with or end with.
There was, when I was chatting with somebody recently about, I think they had a 5.9 and they were looking at having an engine built. And when we had scheduled this podcast, I wanted to ask you this because I think a lot of Cummins owners are, you kind of feel the same way as we feel almost invincible with the engine because we've seen, you know, the stock one do 1200, 1100, 13. Yeah. And so they always ask like, do I need to do this? Do I really need to go this far? Do I really need to invest in this part? Do I really need to do, you know, these billet rods? So when somebody calls industrial injection and they say, hey, I'm shooting for 1500 horsepower in my 5.9 or, you know, 1200 in my 6.7 or 2000, what is the process you guys go through with someone who calls in to make sure, you know, they're not cutting corners on something that you definitely don't want to do.
Right. Well, and that's a great thing. And the beauty of us is a lot of our guys that are the salesmen on the phones, they either have a truck or have built a truck that is in that range, you know, not everybody has a 3000 horsepower Schaumbacher build or anything like that, but you know, they're daily driving 1000 horsepower trucks or they've built one and sold it or whatever. So it's not like you're talking to guys that, you know, are just trying to sell you every little thing. The first question is exactly what you said. What kind of horsepower do you want to build? You know, if it's truly a 1200 horsepower, 1500 horsepower build, every one of my salesmen are going to tell you, you need the exact same thing. You're going to need, you know, if it's a 5.9, you know, we're going to tell you, you need billet rods. You need, at least the coated piston package. You need the coated bearings that we do. Our bolt-in girdle kit that we offer, all that stuff as far as the short block goes. As far as the cylinder head goes, there's two options. You can go with a full-on race head. The only issue with that is you have to have a bolt-on manifold and everything, and we offer all those parts for that, but it gets a little more custom as far as drop-in. But our street head is good up to about 1,500 horsepower. We don't try to push that much further. We are going to do some cool stuff with an engine coming up. It's a 6.7. Build that I was talking about with the full plenum on it, the full intake. You actually use a picture of Brighton, Shane's kid that you interviewed a couple weeks ago or whatever, months ago. He's down here working and he's built him a 6.7. platform, and we're going to put on the engine dyno and push it to as far as it'll go. We're going to keep adding turbos and air and fuel and see what it does. But you know, we wouldn't sell, you know, 1500 is about our mark on a head with a full plenum on it. And then it goes different. But like I said, you're going to get the same answer from everybody at our shop, what you need to do. We won't, you know, you can send your parts in and we'll check it out and we'll do your machine work and stuff. But, you know, we're not going to let you build something that isn't going to last more than a couple hits.
One of the really cool things is I've known Tyler Kipp for quite a while. And I remember seeing his 12 valve, I think it was at the ATS Dyno Day. I don't remember what year it was, but I remember seeing him push the limits of that thing. And over the years, people would ask questions, you know, on the podcast or YouTube or something like that. And they'd say, hey, tell me about industrials thing, or I want to run this. And I could always message Tyler and he's like, I ran that charger and you're going to want to go bigger. You're going to want to run these injectors. And so it was always really cool to be able to just chat with somebody as a podcast host, and he's already done it, and I give the answer to the listener.
That's what's really cool with industrial. Like I said, I've been here for 20 years. I've been a part of all these different builds. And my main job was kind of keeping the big engines going through the shop. But not only that, you know, I helped Tyler get his motor and his truck built. I helped Sean get his motor and truck built. Trevor Peterson, that T-Pain truck, you've seen it on. I was heavily involved in that one. And a couple, you know, pretty much all of them, our drag truck, you know, and everybody gets involved after work on Friday nights. Like, you know, nobody would go home till 10 or 11 o'clock at the earliest. And it was just all hands on deck, come out. And even if it was just talking about, hey, what's our next move? You know, how did that work out? How did, you know, should we run those injectors? Should we run that turbo? You know? And so everybody was heavily involved too, you know, and it's really nice to be able to call in and get those good answers and stuff from these guys.
And what do you think in the future, like, to look into the crystal ball, so to speak, is what do you think are going to be some new things that we're going to see, like, that you guys are going to be able to offer for Cummins engines, or maybe power levels people are pushing, or just technology that as diesel fans we should pay attention to, you know, this year, next year, you know, the aftermarket?
Well, I do believe that the new 19 and newer Cummins has a lot of neat things about it, but also, you know, if they went to that CP4 and now they're back to the CP3, there's some really cool stuff that's involved in that engine specifically, as far as like their valve train and rollers, the lifters and all that stuff. You know, I'm not going to talk about the pump because everybody knows that whole thing, but it's going to open up, you know, that motor itself is going to be capable of making a lot of power just on its own, with a few little tricks, you know, and it's kind of crazy, you know, it's hard to look in the crystal ball, and I'll be honest, every time we sell a motor for the last 10 years, I've said, that's gotta be the last high performance race engine I've ever sold. But then the orders just keep coming in, and we're just so happy that people are having fun and building these things and learning about them and carrying on this stuff. But I don't really know. I don't know what the future holds. Like I said, that platform is a pretty neat engine. I think it's going to be a really awesome build. And like now we're 2019 or 2022 or 3 years old, there's going to be a lot of those. People are building them already and stuff like that. So
that's what's been
pretty neat.
That's what's been so crazy. Like, I think I've been paying attention to diesel trucks for probably about 13, 15 years, somewhere in there. And I remember seeing, like, you'd mentioned, like, a 750 horsepower, 850 horsepower build was crazy. Yeah. And that used to be on the cover of magazines. And,
oh, yeah.
Yep. And then all of a sudden, you know, I think UCC had a lot to do with it, with just creating this atmosphere where all these companies compete and they want to win. Mm-hmm. But we just saw this huge jump in power. And I'm like, I never thought I would see a 2,000 horsepower diesel truck, or 2,500 or 3,000. It's like, where does it end? But it's so cool to see how, like, what you guys learn at the track and in these competitions, you're now able to put into a street engine, or, you know, or something that, some technology or something, you know, with the machining or parts that a guy at 1,000 or 1,200 horsepower can now take advantage of that. So it's been really cool to watch it, you know, the industry progress like that.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's so neat. Like, I agree 100% with what you said in UCC, like, so many times we've joked around. You know, me, Sean, Tyler, all of us will be talking, even the guys back at Firepunk, LaVon and them, and we're talking. It's like, man, it feels like it's been 15 years since we've been building you know, since the first UCC, and it's only been three or four, and, you know, what we've done in a year, what, you know, even Drew at D&J, what's been accomplished in a year is just insane, you know, and I think a lot of people are now, you know, trying to tune in, you know, we were able to make all these big power numbers, and now let's refine that and, you know, make it live for a long time and see, like, we were pretty ecstatic today. Sean was down here and he had one of his solid Hamilton blocks that we deck plated and put a big sleeves in it. And I think it ran the first UCC all of that year, 16 or 17, I'm not sure what year, all that year, the first UCC all the way through, like, weekend on the edge and maybe like a year and a half of runtime on it at 25 to 2700 horsepower, numerous engine dyno passes. And we just pulled the block out and set it out in the corner. And he was talking to me. He's like, "Hey, while I'm down there, let's cut those sleeves out and see what it looks like and go through it." We were just all sitting there looking at how impressed we were with still how the cylinder walls looked and how, you know, how the block looks and the deck plate and the deck height. And it's like, gosh, yeah, 15 years ago when we built this. And then, no, it wasn't 15 years ago, but you know what I mean? It's, yeah, like, we were just, it was fun to dive back into that. I guess he's got something planned for it. He's going to be building, and it's going to be pretty hot. So,
well, that's the thing with like all the builds that it's been, you know, the last 18 months or so, it's definitely been different. And just focusing on the diesel truck side of it, is there so many people I know who are like, you know what, I'm going to build my truck now. I've always wanted to have this power level, and, you know, they're keeping you guys busy, and they're keeping the turbo companies, injector companies, transmission companies, everybody is busy doing this stuff. And that's what's so cool, is I think the reliability that you can have at these higher power levels, where in years past it was like, yeah, it makes 1,000 horse, but I'm not sure quite how long it's going to live. Yeah. Versus what you just mentioned about, you know, at 25 to 2700 horsepower, and you're like,
yeah,
wow, this thing still looks good inside.
It's reusable. Yeah, yeah, we could really just throw it through the home, clean it up, and build it.
Yeah. There was we were chatting before the podcast, and you said you had some really cool things there in the shop to show us. I want to see if you could walk us around, show us what you guys are working on.
See if I can turn this camera around here.
This is always one of my favorite parts of the podcast, because it's so cool to just see the parts and what you guys are doing. And
well, it's got this, I got to get rid of this background somehow here. All right. Okay. So this is our little shop. Like I said, can you see me?
Yep. Everything looks good.
I got to probably move a little slow just because we're in this older building down here. We're 2.5 hours south of Salt Lake City in a little town called Richfield. And it's super nice because nobody bothers us. But this is our line home. So this motor's here set up, just a couple of stock engines that are going through here. I don't know if you can see this diamond home here.
Mm-hmm.
And I can actually go ahead and run this through, but it's just on a program that we did right now. What it's doing is plateau honing. It's on board and honed the cylinders, and now it's going to go in and plateau knock down the big ridges in it, and we can basically do that, let it do its work, and walk away from it. And where we used to have to stand behind it and CK10 and a couple of heads here, some Duramax heads. This is our porting room. So after we come off the CNC machines, this is something that we do. Each one of these, like a street head like this one here.
Yeah.
We'll get... it'll get probably 8 to 12 hours worth of hand blending and cleanup time in here by a person. And like this big race head here that it's been through the CNC machine. You can see in there if it's blurry.
That's looking pretty nice.
But now they've polished it all up, and every one of our heads come out of this place looking like this. You know, they're all polished. We've got a balancer over here. I don't have anything on here. It's new, and he does the seats all automatically. It's all CNC programmed, so we can get the best stuff. And we'll go over here to our big machines. This is our assembly room where we assemble all our cylinder heads. There's some big race Duramax heads in here right now that we've opened up.
I know the Duramax guys, after hearing this episode, they're going to want me to chat with you about their engines next.
Yeah, we'll do it whenever you want. This is that one. I don't know if you ever saw that picture that he posted on Instagram. This is Brighton. He's Shane's son. Came down to work here. He's been with me for 3 years, and this is the one we're going to push to its limits on the engine dyno.
I just want to put a chair in the middle of the shop there and watch you guys put all these cool engines together.
It's supposed to be covered with alien blood, I guess, or something. But, and then we do a lot of fuel injection work down here where we actually, this is a whole nother thing, but we actually reman CP3s and DLC coat the plungers. We actually make these plungers for the pumps, and we make bigger ones and smaller ones. You've heard about our big XP pumps.
Yeah.
But we do all that down here. And then over here is our P69 Rottler, and it's usually running all day long. But like I said, we're doing a big cleanup week right now. Let me show you this. This is pretty neat. This is Baca's old block that we were talking about.
Yeah.
This is how much, this was all cleaned off this morning. This is how much material just came out of the block to bore his cylinder.
Whoa. That's a lot.
We always get a kick out of that. So these are all engine blocks that are down here for jobs to get done. All Cummins. We got a few Duramax. These are all more just cores, 6-7 cores all through there, and some 5-9s. We've got some big ISX stuff that we're just about to release a new really cool product for the ISX cylinder head.
That's what was really interesting about our last podcast, is just learning how much industrial stuff that you guys do that I didn't know.
Right.
You know, and just the upgrades and things like that. Now with cores, do you guys have a good supply of them with like 5-9s?
Yeah, we've got open POs pretty much with all the core suppliers, but these are all customers' jobs that are sent in.
Oh, okay.
These are all customers' jobs, and all those ones over there are customers' jobs. So a lot of people are pulling them out and
sending them in.
So on this machine right here, we're actually running girdles. If you're familiar with our girdle for the Cummins, the Gorilla girdle.
Yeah. And actually somebody had asked about it.
Spacers for them.
As far as the girdle, what does it do, or what's the benefit, or why should somebody consider
basically basically it strengthens the bottom end. We'll head back over here to my office, but yeah, it's there to strengthen the bottom end. You know, like up to certain power levels. I'll go through this way. So we also build all the CP3s down, like your 10 mils, your 12 mils, your 14 mil CP3s on these crank grinders. These are all like billet tappet covers for all of them, intake plates, girdles that are all done, packaged, ready to go.
I feel like a kid in a candy store.
And then just a bunch of this wall is parts for the 2019 to 20 Dodge conversion to convert it back to a CP3.
Oh, okay.
I know that's, and then just smaller rings and pistons. These are all coated pistons that we've modified and done work to, Duramax parts, and that's like all cupboards full of ARP parts, but get back over. So it'll basically switch my computer around. There we go. I'm back. So basically the girdle strengthens the bottom end. There's different power levels. We have two different girdles. We have a bolt-in girdle that's you can just drop it on your main caps and bolts all on and utilizes the main caps. And then we have one that's actually machined in and drops in. And our one we feel is good up to 2,000 horsepower. We haven't seen any mains problems, you know, walking or anything like that with our bolt-in girdle. And then if anything past 2,000, we recommend the big silverback Gorilla girdle and drop in. And you know, you have to send the block in and have us put it in there.
I got
you. Or send it to a machine shop to get done.
And that's a really cool thing that I've always really appreciated. Like if I go on the industrial injection side, is I can look at the engines and you guys have them set up, but then there's also so many parts and other things that, that I can get. And there's a lot of do-it-yourselfers and guys that, you know, build their own stuff where they can get, you know, some of these things and be able to do it and incorporate it into their build. And the CP3 conversions, I know those are hugely popular.
Oh man. Yeah.
That was really cool. The shop tour thing is definitely one of my favorite parts of the podcast, and it's something like before we couldn't really do because we're just like on iTunes and Spotify and SoundCloud. But with YouTube, there's so many people who are like, man, we want to see the video, we want to see the parts, we want to see the truck. So I just want to go sit in there and just watch the machines run and look at the shiny things.
Like I said, it's way more cool when all the machines are running, but it's nice that they're not right now because you probably wouldn't be able to hear me very well anyway. But I forgot we didn't go back to the other couple of rooms. There's two or three more rooms back there that we do all our abrasives, all of our we check for cracks and like all our big magnifluxing machines and wash machines or whatever. But and then we have another room that's like a big paint booth that we do all of our coatings in-house, like our bearing coatings and our piston and tops and skirts and stuff like that. But it's quite the operation down here. Like I said, we don't assemble anything here. Everything goes up to industrial and they have a full assembly room and then their sim testing and all that packaging and shipping up there.
Yeah. It's been, it was really cool to see and be able to ask you these questions because there's going to be guys out there that are, you know, looking for an engine right now and they're seeing what's available and what they can do. And I know with what you guys have done, not just at the racetrack, which is that always grabs our attention, you know, the big power numbers, but just how long industrial injection has done it for.
I know
the quality I'm getting. I know the history. I know that, you know, you guys have built dozens or probably hundreds of, you know, engines for 1200 horsepower, 1500, whatever the power number might be. So it's like, I have that confidence that when I order this up, I know it's going to run. I know, I have the support of a major company behind me.
Yep.
And that's what we want at those power levels. And when we're taking them out racing or just having fun with them.
Well, that's what we pride ourselves in, is trying to make sure that we can provide the best possible part for the consumer. And, you know, they're spending a lot of money. It's got to work. It's got to do what we advertise, what we do with our own trucks. You know, we aren't in this business to go out there and compete and make the better engine and the better race truck. We want everybody to succeed and ultimately grow the industry. That's really what it's all about. You know, we work hand in hand with some of the biggest competitors that you would think, oh, they're a direct competitor of those guys. We work behind the scenes hand in hand. You know, there's a lot of that going on, and we just ultimately want to grow the industry. You know, there's so much stuff out there for everybody, and it's an awesome thing to be a part of. For sure.
Yeah. And it's cool to see that also just with the daily drivers and the trucks that are towing is, you know, eventually those engines go out or you have some issue with it and just being able to, you know, get a quality product for it or call and ask questions.
Exactly. And that's generally what happens is you build the big race truck or the big race motor and go out and do these amazing things. You know, even Bach's big blow up last year, you know, our phones just went crazy. People, they can make 3000 horsepower. They must be able to make my 400 or 500 horsepower truck run really well, you know? And so it works hand in hand, you know, but it's quite a thing.
Well, I appreciate your time today, Dustin. And like I said, when you're giving us the tour, I know the Duramax guys are going to say, hey, well, I want an episode talking about Duramax engines. So
yeah, we can definitely do that. We got a lot of cool stuff for the Duramax. So anytime.
Yeah, well, it was great chatting with you and learned a lot. And we'll have to do another one here. I'll get some questions compiled for the Duramax.
Awesome.
The Duramax guys and learn some more about those engines, which I don't know a ton about. So I'll probably have a ton of probably basic questions that I'll ask you.
Yeah, maybe we can get you on a podcast while we're in the dyno room and running a couple engines. That might be kind of fun.
That would
you
be
could
cool.
Just be a part of it with us and whatever happens, happens. We'll figure something out for sure.
Don't forget, diesel fans, make sure to head on over to WCFab.com. Check out all the cool products that they have for your truck. And if there's any questions you have, you're not sure of exactly what you need, make sure and reach out to them. They got their phone number on their website. You can send them an email that will make sure that you get the products that you need. Also wanted to give a shout out to two of our Patreon sponsors, which is Texas Diesel Supply, Wright's Diesel Services. If you're looking for even more content, from the Diesel Podcast and want to interact with us in a different way than you may on social media or YouTube, or even just emailing us, we've got a lot of cool perks on there for you guys, ranging from having your truck be our podcast cover for a month. You can be listed on our show notes. You can be, you know, a co-producer for an episode. So there's a lot of cool things. Starts as low as $3 a month, and it goes a long way to helping us out, keeping us doing what we're doing and being able to produce the best diesel podcast that we can do and cover all the topics. Things are moving so fast with technology and parts and new things people are coming out with and events, and there's so many cool things. We look forward to being able to bring you all these shows, and we're really excited for the remainder of this year and then heading into 2022. Until next time, keep the shiny side up.